Father, we thank you that you are our sufficiency and you give us all that we need. And Father, I pray this morning, Lord, as we just spend some time now looking in your word and looking to your face to hear what you would say, that you would give us grace to hear. Lord, give me grace to speak. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would find you this day. Lord, bless us now. Lord, bless this word in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians 13, I want to speak about love today. There's just some things I feel the Lord would really like to encourage us in. I'm going to read the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish things away. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope and love. But the greatest of these is love. The first part of this chapter, it says, if I can do many things. So if I can prophesy, if I can speak in tongues. And all these things are good things. And in fact, we can put in there anything that might apply to us. Paul was speaking to a people here who were very active in the gifts of the Spirit. And so he had to address this issue that just because you speak in tongues, just because you pray for the sick, just because you do any number of things does not necessarily mean that there is love present. And so for myself, in my own life, I could say, oh, if I travel to Africa and preach an apostolic message but have not love, it amounts to absolutely nothing. If I build a business and I become hugely successful and I put millions of dollars into the kingdom of God, but I have not love, it is nothing. It is a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal. It is hollow and empty if I don't have love. And you know, the wonderful thing is that God has really blessed us in this house. You know, there was a time when the Lord really came and touched our hearts, and there is a difference in the way we view each other now. God has been so gracious with us and so wonderful with us. You know, I just love being here, and I love being amongst the people that I'm amongst because of the way God has really touched our hearts and has really knit our hearts together. And so God has been wonderfully gracious to us, and we now have something that at one time we didn't have. All of us would agree with that, no doubt. But you know, God is an infinite God. And so no matter where we've come, no matter how much we've grown, our heart attitude needs to be, well, we can grow in more in this. We can grow more in love. We can as much as we love each other now, that there is still room yet for us to love each other more, for us to have a deeper sense of love, for us to grow in love in many areas. And so we need to move on in this. And so the attitude that we need to carry is one that's grateful. So So we acknowledge the absolute grace of God, because if I was to stand here and say, oh, we need more love, and just say that, then that's not really looking at what God has done for us. But we need to be grateful. Lord, you have blessed us so much. You have put love in our hearts. You put a desire to be with each other in our hearts. Lord, we thank you. At the same time as that, we need to have a heart that says, Lord, I want more of this. I realize that yet I can grow in this. I can become more than what I am. Your grace abounds. Your mercy abounds. And we need to move on. You know, when the children of Israel came into the promised land, many of them probably felt, well, we've arrived. And you know, like in counselling young couples, often people will say to a young man, you realise that when you're married, when you that day that you get married is not the day that you've arrived, it's the day you just begin. Because men tend to have this thing of winning the prize, and once they're married, they've won the prize and the work's done and that's good. But they're counseled, no, you've got to work on this, you've got to keep going at this, you've got to build this marriage. And it's the same when the children of Israel came into the promised land, they actually did not continue to grow and to walk with the Lord. I mean, they were given very clear instructions. Completely wipe this people out. Because if you don't, what's going to happen is you'll follow their gods. And we know that that's what happened. We know that in the end, the children of Israel ended up worshipping false gods, and they had this whole string of kings, some of them good, some of them bad, some of them in the middle, some of them really bad, and some of them quite good. But they kept this whole thing going all the time because they didn't continue to grow and to actually take what God has for them. And we could end up being the same. I mean, we could sit here and say, well, we've got such a wonderful love, we've got such a wonderful, you know, care for each other, and our hearts are for each other so much, and we do, and it's wonderful. I love it. But if we stop there, we actually do not continue to grow, and if you don't continue to grow, you start going backwards, really. So this needs to be a hunger in our heart. And you know, we can be doing things even now that were originally inspired by love. We can be walking with each other, caring for each other, that were originally inspired by love, but it can all become an empty gong, a clanging cymbal. And really, it becomes something that's odious to God, not something that is a pleasant fragrance to God. So what is love? In the first letter of John, in 1 John 3:16, it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. That is what he says. This is how we know what love is. How do we know what love is? It's by the blood of Christ. It's by seeing Christ's sacrifice for us. What did he do? How did he lay his life down? What does it mean for us? I mean, Christ came, he laid down heaven. He laid down being in very nature God. Now, he was still the Son of God. The only thing he didn't lay down was his identity, but he laid down all those other things. He's the creator of the world, and yet he came and made himself a servant to all men. But it says that we need to lay our lives down for each other. So what does that mean for us? You know, in 1 John 3:17, it says, he goes on to say, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? You know, that's applying to something in particular, you know, caring for people's needs. But the reality is that it might not even apply. That particular thing might not be an issue for you. Now, it's funny how when, you know, you'll have someone come for a series of meetings, and sometimes you'll just hear one thing that it really sticks with you. And when Dr. Sim was here some time ago, one of the statements that he made was, a generous man always finds a way to be generous. And I thought, that's very profound. You see, it wasn't a generous man who's rich always finds a way to be generous. No, this is a generous man, and really this is, in a sense, the essence of love, is that we would be generous. So how can we be generous? Well, generous in our attitudes towards one another. Generous in the way we walk with each other. Generous in what we say about each other. You know, so that if someone comes up in a conversation, you know, that you're looking for opportunities to say things about people that are very generous. There is a growth in this. There is a wonderful thing that can really be built into our lives with generosity. And I think generosity with finance is really important too. But for many of us, or for some of us, or for a few, there's probably less ability to be generous financially than what we would really like. Probably that's true for all of us. I mean, we'd all like to be able to be more generous, even if we are... You give away hundreds of thousands, you probably want to give away millions. If you give away millions, you probably want to give away tens of millions. So I guess that's true for everybody. But there's always the ability to be more generous in your actions, in your attitudes. In Philippians 2, he's speaking there about we need to be in very nature Christ. Let's just turn to that for a moment so I get the wording right. Philippians 2 verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests but to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. You see, the attitude of Christ Jesus was an attitude of generosity, really. He was, at his very nature, generous in what he did. I mean, exceedingly so. You know, it says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know, this is generosity at its very best, really. This is a generous nature where he saw himself as less than others. You see, if I am to be generous in my attitude, take for example, when I look at Mark, I'm not going to think of, oh, well, you know, Mark's okay, but, you know, he's not as good as me in this or whatever. See, that's not a generous attitude. A generous attitude doesn't even consider myself. A generous attitude says, look at Mark, what a great man he is. You know, he's so gentle, he's so kind, he's just such a loving brother, such a sweet man. You know, there's a generosity expressed in that sort of attitude. And that is really, the Lord has already brought us into that a great deal, but I believe there's room for growth. Now, verse 3 of Philippians 2 says two things. There are two calls, if you like. You know, I could say requirements, but if I said requirements, then it tends to smell of being law. No, this is, you know, like John was saying earlier about prayer, this is not a requirement of prayer. This is a call to something that is wonderful. So there are two calls here. There are two things here, opportunities, if you like. It says, consider others better than yourselves. You know, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And then verse 4 gives us the second thing. It says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So looking out for others. Sometimes there's a word needed. Sometimes, you know, there's just prayer needed. You know, you see someone struggling and you pray for them. You want to see them blessed. You want to see them overcome. This could be many different things. So you're not self-centered and introverted. And I think the Lord is calling us to more in this area. I really feel there's just this season at the moment where the Lord is calling us up to all the more love, all the more care for each other, all the more have a heart for each other. And I think there are two opportunities here. And one is that within our fellowship, that there is meant to be a growth. We are meant to grow in love. We are meant to grow in our hearts towards one another and how we feel about each other and just a deep, deep passion. You know, I really think I was brought up in a Christian culture. So, Christian home and godly parents and mother and father who loved me and mother and father who loved God. And one of my children asked me this morning whether I went to church on most Sundays when I was growing up. And I certainly did. You know, there was very few times when we weren't in church on a Sunday. And I thank God that my parents built that into my life and made that a part of my life. And they built a love for God and a love for the Word in there. But, you know, when you grow up in that church culture, in that era especially, there was always, you always heard these little comments that were sort of like, you know, comments like, he's too earthly minded to be any earthly good. Now, do you want to, that too, sorry. It's no good to be too earthly minded either. But this comment, he's too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. And the essence of what they were trying to say is true. You know, you get people that are all out there and they use all sorts, like, you know, the Lord said to me. And they use that as an excuse to do whatever it is they actually want to do. You know, this is not actually the Lord said to them. And that was what was being referred to. But the problem is a lie comes in on that that says, oh, you can't be, you know, you can be too spiritual. And that's just a load of rubbish. There is no such thing as being too heavenly minded. When it's genuinely heavenly minded, there is no such thing as being too focused on God, is there? Because if you're really focused on God, you are going to be focused on the things you need to be focused on. But in regard to loving each other, there was also the same sort of thing. Oh, you know, really, that's just going too far. Love doesn't require such a big thing of you. Love doesn't require that, you know, you do this or you do that and all these things. Now, I can't remember any specific sort of lines that I heard, but there was always, you know, in the church culture, there was always this impression, oh, yes, we love each other. But let me tell you this. I really think the type of love that we're meant to have for each other is meant to be so absurd that the people of the world would look at it and say, that is really strange. What those people do for each other, that seems too radical. Because when you remember the early church, you know, we teach about the apostolic and about how we're meant to love each other. And there is the quote of the enemies of the Christians who would say in absolute frustration how these people love each other. You see, because they loved each other so much that they would give their lives for each other. That they would die so that other people wouldn't have to. And then the people that they just saved from dying would own up, oh yes, I'm a Christian, I'll die with them. I mean, this is a love for each other that goes beyond anything we know. And so our love for each other as a people should be such that it is maybe overbalanced in the eyes of the world. Such a heart of love for each other that we do sacrifice ourselves. We do give of ourselves so completely, not just to Christ, but to each other. I really think there is more of this yet that we can grow into. You know, this is not condemning by any means, because what God has done in our hearts is wonderful. This is saying, hey, there is something more here yet. We are meant to have, I'll use the word, but I want you to understand, we are meant to have a ridiculous love. And I say that to try and get us to understand this is meant to be a love that is so absurd, but not to the mind of Christ. You see, this is a normal love to the mind of Christ, because this is the Christ who, being in very nature God, made of himself nothing. That is absurd to the mind, to the human thinking, that is absurd. But I want, in my own life, to have a love where I think of myself as nothing. So I think there is opportunity here. There is a call for us to be hungrier for a love for each other, to be desirous. Lord, give me that deeper love. But there is a second thing that I think the Lord is offering an opportunity for us here. You know, we have done pretty well for loving each other. I think there is a beautiful love in this place. But I think there is a season coming, and this is an opportunity for us where we are meant to love the body of Christ in Rockhampton all the more. I feel that the Lord is calling us to really love the other churches, to really, there needs to be an expanding of our heart. You know, that experience that Elisha had when Elijah was taken from him, where he cried out, my father, and his heart was broken and rent, and there was room made for Elisha to carry such a great anointing. There was room in Elisha's heart to carry so much more. I feel like the Lord is calling us now to love the believers in the city of Rockhampton. The Lord is calling us to have such an experience with Him that our hearts are expanded, that they would grow, that they would be rent, that they would be broken, that we would have a love for the church in the city. And you know, Friday night at the watch, we were praying about this, and I could just see this experience of walking down the street, seeing someone who's a believer, not knowing them, not even knowing who they are, but the Spirit of Christ so resting, this love so resting on us, that we would, all those emotions of love would well up, and we would have just such a heart towards them. And there would just be such a knowing, oh, they are in the body. They are part of me. They are a part of me. Because really, that is the truth, isn't it? The body of Christ. You know, we see someone who belongs to Christ. They are a part of us. They are a part of who we are. And I just believe the Lord is wanting to pour His Spirit out upon us again. He's wanting more and more to touch our hearts, to give us a bigger heart. Because this requires a big heart. We can't do this in our own strength. We are basically selfish people. Without Christ, we are selfish. That is the whole center of sin, really, when you come back to it. You know that whole thing of what is the opposite of love? Well, it's not hate. The opposite of love is self. We need Christ to so move in our lives. We need grace. We need the anointing of the Spirit of God so that we can truly love, so that our hearts will be expanded, so that we will become more than what we are. That is the call of Christ. That, I believe, is what God is calling us to. And, you know, just the same as things changed in our fellowship when John prayed that day to release the anointing for community and give it a week, 2 weeks, 6 weeks, 12, you know, like things started to really change in our hearts. And that's been working ever since. I know this year things have changed in my heart. The Lord has changed the way I viewed myself and the way I viewed people, and that needed to happen. I was in really grave sin in the way I was thinking. But just the same as that anointing has been released, and something wonderful has happened here, hasn't it? You know, this is a wonderful place to be. I have been in church all my life, and I have never enjoyed church so much. I have never enjoyed being around the people of God so much. But I believe the Lord is wanting to release an anointing over the city of Rockhampton, over the church in this city, that really knits our hearts together, that really causes great love to well up within us. All the more than we've had before. You know, sure, there are people that we may know of who we have loved and all the rest of it, But I think there is a change, there is something that God is wanting to do in our hearts and in our lives so that we will have such love for the body of Christ. So I'd like to just pray and invite God, just ask the Lord if he would touch our hearts, if he would so move on our lives that we might find a grace greater than what we have known already, because there is so much more grace yet available to us. There is so much more, that we would have a deeper love for each other and a great love for the body of Christ in this city. So let's just seek the face of God. Lord, we thank you for your love. Father, we thank you for your mercy, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you have so poured out your heart for us. And we thank you for Christ, who, being in very nature God, made of himself nothing, made himself a servant to all men. Father, we bless you, for you are so good to us, so gracious. And Father, we come before you humbly today, Lord, seeking your face, looking to you, desiring, Lord, to walk in your ways. And Father, we pray this day that your hand would be upon us as a people. Father, we thank you that you have already put such a wonderful grace upon us. You have changed our lives. You have changed the way we live, the way we walk, the way we view each other. Father, we thank you for what a wonderful thing you have done, for such great grace. But Lord God, we also look to you. We are hungry for more of this, hungry for a greater love in our hearts, hungry that, Lord, your Spirit would come in, Lord, in such wonderful power, in such a wonderful grace, and in such a wonderful way that, Lord, it would displace, Lord, the selfish ambition. All the more, cleanse us. Lord, all the more, Father, cause us to love you and to love each other and to walk with each other and to know each other, that our hearts would be large towards each other. Lord, not small. Lord, I pray that, Father, we would find ways of being generous with each other in greater measure. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that, Father, all the more your Spirit would be upon us in this. Let us not be proud. Let us not think that we have reached something and that we can stay there. But Lord, I pray that, Father, we have been brought into the promised land in that sense. Father, I pray that you would give us grace to take the entire land and not hold back, not sit and say, well, I've got my piece of dirt and that's good enough for me. No, Father, the very nature of generosity dictates, Lord, that we have to be looking to increase and become more, so that all the more we can be more generous. Father, I pray that you would give us grace, Lord, to increase and to become more. Lord, that indeed the shalom of our hearts would grow, the shalom of our soul. Lord, that, Father, we would increase in this. And Father, I pray that you would so enlarge our hearts, so enlarge our love. Father, I pray that you would build in us such a deep love for the body of Christ in the city of Rockhampton. Father, I ask that grace would be given to us to love your people. Father, I pray that, Lord, your Spirit would rest upon us in this, that, Lord, we would find your favour. Let the Spirit of Christ now rest upon us, enlarge our hearts. Father, cause us to be all that we are meant to be, I pray, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen.
We're going to add a bread to that. I thank Lloyd for what he shared and for what he has prayed. But during the prayer meeting before this service, it occurred to me, and as it had occurred to me earlier in the week by the Holy Spirit, that same anointing by which community is built and which just changes people's hearts when it's received, and which we had released here and which we've released into a number of other churches and in fact into another town, and it began to change that town. I I felt during the week that really what we need to do is to pray and believe for the Lord to release that anointing into our whole city. And in the prayer meeting before this one of the ladies started to pray, really pray for the city. And I thought, yeah, my, that's what, there's grace there today. There's really grace on that today. And the fact that Lloyd has preached about this, the need to love the body of Christ in the city of more. You know, yeah, we've come to that time, I think, where we're going to see something fresh, something new. And, well, why not believe for it? And so how about we pray together? How about you stand with me just now? We are going to pray for grace for this city. We're going to ask that this city would find favour in the eyes of God. What does that mean but that the whole body of Christ will find favour? And after we've prayed that together, I'm going to pray and release that anointing to the whole city. And we're going to see what God does. After that, we're going to sing a final song together. How about we all pray first of all? A united prayer. We're going to ask grace for this city, favour for the city. I want you to bless the city. Please remember, in blessing the city, we are blessing the body of Christ, the one church of the city. So raise your voice now with me. And with tender hearts, as we pray, let us believe God hears our prayer. And Father, we reach out to you this day together, and with humble hearts we ask that this city and the body of Christ in this city would find grace, that we, O Lord, would find favour with God. I ask that you'd treat this city not as we deserve and not in accordance with our sins, but with tenderness, O God. That you remember all the prayers of the saints that have been prayed in and for this city. And so we cry out today and ask that the tenderness of your heart would now be toward this city, and that we would find grace. And so, Lord, forgive our sins. Cleanse this, your people. Have mercy on this city. And fulfill, O Lord, in this city your purpose today, I pray. Begin a fresh work of the Holy Spirit among all your people. I pray, Lord, that all your people would find the grace to greatly love, radical love, the ridiculous love, Lord, the irrepressible love, the impossible love. Lord, grant us this great grace. And so in the name of the Lord Jesus, I take a hold of that anointing from heaven above, from the very throne of grace, the throne of mercy, the throne of his favour. I take a hold of what is in Christ Jesus today by the Holy Spirit, and I bring that anointing down upon the city of Rockhampton, and not only the city, but all the surrounds, the villages, the towns, the farms. I bring that anointing down upon Rockhampton City, Rockhampton region, and in the name of the Lord Jesus, I release this anointing, the anointing by which community is built, the spirit of understanding, this great grace, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I release it into the city. Lord, that you would do mighty things among your people, turning hearts and minds, we believe we shall begin to see a new work in the heart of the leaders of the city, the servants to the body of Christ who are called to be fivefold ministers. Amongst all of them in particular, Lord, a new spirit. I take a hold too of that anointing by which community is perceived by leaders. I ask now that that anointing would come and flood through the city to the hearts and minds of all those called to be leaders. Not just the ones who are perhaps in a known leadership position, but all those called in the name of Jesus, I release to each one this anointing, the anointing of Christ by which community is understood and perceived. And so today we agree, we bless the body of Christ. We declare our love for the people of God. Let the hand of the Lord now be upon us and upon all our people. Lord, now go with our folks. Every home might know the presence of God. Every prayer you will hear. Every marriage blessed with joy and with intimacy and with understanding. And over every heart, your favour. For every child, for every teenager, or the leading of the Holy Spirit and grace in the learning of discipline and wisdom. Father, for this we pray. Bless your people. Increase your people. Prosper your people. And cause our hearts with joy to reach out to you by day and by night. For this we thank you. In Jesus' name. My friends, my brothers and sisters, I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. May his grace go with you and help you.